The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
The information and the knowledge of the history of this country, I mean, he was going all the way back to like 1945 and policies, and it was just unbelievable. And then you get Zioli in that setting, and Zioli was great as always. By the way, Rich lose a little weight. The Rich look really, really trimmed in tone. Like,
yeah,
look at that.
Well, I think he has all these Fox News appearances.
Yeah, big TV guy now, you know, these days. Yeah,
I take credit for the, you know, the hair gel and the makeup, because I did provide him.
Well, the hair always looks good.
Hair and makeup tips.
Yeah, you know. Gave him a couple of pointers. Luckily, you don't ever have to do that for me. Because I don't
just
really...
Just the powder.
Yeah. Just the powder. Right. Take away a little bit of the shine away. 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in. By the way, the internet remains undefeated. The internet is much of a disaster as it is at times, or many times, can also be incredibly funny. I just saw this post during the breaks. Somebody tweeted at Jamal Bowman and said, "Hey, dear Jamal, you're in luck. New York City is hiring, and there's a job posting that the guy screenshotted probably off of one of those job websites. Now hiring multiple candidates for alarm technicians at Allstate Sprinkler Corp. They pay $25 to $35 an hour. They give a 401k, health insurance, paid time off. Fire alarm technicians in New York, New York." So he won't be out of work for long.
Be careful. I'm just warning all of these right-wing Twitter people. Just be careful about dunking on people. That's all I'm saying.
Uh-oh.
No, I'm just saying. You know, it's really easy to dunk on people on Twitter, but, you know.
You know, I try not to dunk on people in the industry of media for the most part, unless they're like, you know, $20 million a year TV people like Don Lemon that will never have to work again. But I don't have any issue if you want to dunk on a politician that loses.
Oh, yeah,
politicians put themselves out there, you know. A lot of them are corrupt to begin with, so. And that works on both sides of the aisle. Like, if Marjorie Taylor Greene gets ousted, God knows I love Marjorie, you know, if you want to dunk on her and make jokes about her, I have no problem with that from the other side of the aisle. People that live paycheck to paycheck that lose a job, I don't like to dunk on people like that. But I know.
No, I don't care about him. I could care less about him. I'm glad he's out. Good riddance. I hope the rest of the squad follows. They won't, by the way. But I'm just saying that just be careful about dunking on people.
You prefer the layup or the jump shot?
Whatever.
Tackle.
All right, we got a lot to get to in the news. Let's get to it right now. 7:04, round number two, the Great Dawn Stencil.
Yes, and good morning. We are sponsored by Harvest Credit Union in Kale & Company News Live with a heat advisory going into effect for today. Full forecast in just a moment. We're at 76 degrees already this 7 a.m. hour, and we will talk about the forecast upcoming. We have an innocent woman awakened by gunfire outside her Philadelphia home, hospitalized right now after police say a stray bullet struck her amid a gun battle in Strawberry Mansion. So police say two men in their 30s were firing shots at a shootout on the 2500 block of Ridge Drive early this morning. And according to police, they say the woman heard the commotion, was awakened by this, walked out on her front porch into this barrage of bullets, struck by at least two of the bullets. She's recovering in the hospital with gunshots to her back and her shoulder. Now, one of the gunmen is also hospitalized with bullet wounds. Police investigating the entire situation, obviously searching, they say, for the other gunmen, trying to figure out the motive. We don't have a motive. We don't have arrests. We don't have charges. None of that. Thank God she survived this shooting.
Yes, absolutely. I would just like to advise people, if there's a shootout going on outside of your property, I mean, unless you know who that person is, or maybe you're armed as well, maybe not a great idea to go outside. I don't know. Just stay inside until it passes.
Well,
would be my guess.
It sounds from what police are saying in the police reports, she didn't realize. She just heard this commotion, maybe shouting, pop, and she didn't. You know, and sometimes people don't, the pop, 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 you don't, it's not going to be a bang, you know, and so maybe she was just awakened, didn't realize that these guys were actually in the middle of a wild, wild west shootout.
And I would open the door. Oh, sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah, right? Yep. Jeez.
Yeah.
And speaking of which, we still have this Philadelphia police officer, prayer watch for him, hospitalized in the ICU on a respirator with his family by his side after he was shot during what was supposed to be a routine traffic stop Saturday night in the Kensington section of the city. 31-year-old officer. Family has asked us not to release his name, and so nobody is, and he remains in intensive care at Temple University Hospital. And the suspect, the focus of intense investigation as we learn more about 36-year-old Ramon Rodriguez Vasquez, charged with 2 counts of attempted murder as well as multiple other offenses. He's in jail, $12.5 million bail as police investigate why this guy, when he was accused 11 years ago in Puerto Rico of shooting another officer, carjacking, what happened there as he was facing felony serious charges in Puerto Rico, why is he now in Philadelphia? We don't have the answers to this question, but it's the subject of intense investigation. That's what we're being told. We also have federal agents arresting a central Pennsylvania man after he's accused of threatening to murder State Senator Doug Mastriano, who's a Republican from Franklin County. And these posts that were expressing a desire to murder Mastriano were posted on Facebook earlier this month, according to these federal agents. They've identified the man they've arrested, 49-year-old Richard Little of Chambersburg, and he tagged the Republican. Mastriano was also a Republican candidate, as you may recall, back in 2022, ran against Shapiro. But the posts are shocking. At one point, vowing to skin Mastriano alive if he did not leave office.
Seems like a sane thing that you would say or do or post. Skin somebody. What is this guy, Buffalo Bill?
Aish. So it was obviously reported. I don't even know. I don't have a comment for Mastriano. So I don't know who reported it or if he was on the Fed's radar.
Mm-hmm.
That's something I would, you know, love to know that information. But the suspect himself arrested is a registered Republican. And like Mastriano, he served in the Army. Mastriano, of course, a combat veteran,
yes.
You know, by the way, as you know, but the suspect also a sergeant major in the U.S. Army.
So, okay, I was
fellow army man, you know.
Yeah, as you're giving this story, I'm thinking, is this like some left wing nut job?
No.
You know, this isn't a fellow Republican and then a guy with a similar background. Wow.
So, you know, obviously he'll undergo a mental health evaluation.
I sure hope so.
But thank God, you know, for State Senator Mastriano, his wife, his family, they're okay.
Yeah.
And there was nothing physically done, but they were severe enough that they, you know, that there were enough threats that they arrested him. So we'll follow that one. You know, there was a report as far as how many people across the country. 500 defendants are listed across America, including 36 in Pennsylvania. Those are the charges of individuals who threatened lawmakers or local officials. This is according to the National Counterterrorism Innovation Technology Education Center out of Nebraska. I don't know if that information includes the Supreme Court justices. Because remember, amid the Roe v. Wade ruling, how many of the SCOTUS judges, Republicans, more conservative ones, were being threatened?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, especially Kavanaugh. So I want to look that up.
Yeah.
So, but just a case that's making national news. We also have in Bucks County, I'll highlight this one, a Bucks County woman sentenced to up to 40 years behind bars yesterday for killing her longtime boyfriend, who was a popular Chalfont pizzeria owner, by shooting him in the head and then keeping his body wrapped up in her bedroom.
Jesus.
For 2 weeks.
Wow.
Skinning people alive, and people locked Ooh. Up in a closet. My God.
That's love.
Well, you know what the motive was here, right?
But,
I mean, Dawn says it. Longtime boyfriend. He never proposed.
Yeah. It's this guy. Yeah.
You should have went to Jared.
You better ask Tony Bruno about this one, Miss Robin. Anna Maria Tolomello, she pleaded guilty to third-degree murder for shooting her longtime love, Mr. Galena, the owner of Pina's Pizzeria, and she admitted to tampering with evidence, abuse of a corpse. So she will be eligible for probation after 18 years, but she could remain behind bars for up to 40. It was heartbreaking because a court advocate read a statement on behalf of the victims, Mr. Galena's children, Marina and Philip, who recalled their dad as a loving family man, lamented that he would never be able to spend more time with his children or his grandchildren. Everybody knew them. Local pizzeria.
Yeah.
They were a long time, you know, lived together for many years, known in the community. So there's clearly, a mental health aspect to this, but accountability.
What a dark installment of the news
I'm
today.
I'm sorry. Wow. Yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Do we have weather? Do we have the Phillies? Do we have rainbows and puppy dogs?
No rainbows. No rainbows, but we do have rain in the forecast. So we'll heat up to 96 degrees. It'll feel more like 100 plus degrees. That cold front will move through later this afternoon and this evening, bringing with it rain, powerful storms sweeping through, cooling us down overnight. And that'll tee us up for 88 degrees as our Phils come home tomorrow to start a new series after rounding out their series in Detroit against the Tigers. We lost last night. Oh, Tony Bruno hates when we say we, but they lost 4-1. That's for you, Tony.
Yes,
I know,
Dawn,
he's listening.
You are not a part of the Phillies organization.
I know. He always says that. But our Phils lost last night 4-1, taking on the Tigers again today in Detroit. And then we'll come back home for a beautiful stretch, a new series. I believe it's the Marlins. I hope I'm not misspeaking, but I think it's against the Marlins, 4 games, and that'll start tomorrow. Weather-wise, incredible. I don't know if tickets are available, but wow, great baseball weather or anything else weather as we look at this sunny stretch of weather. Friday, my goodness, 85 degrees, low humidity, just beautiful. And then the weekend, hotter, upper 80s, but still gorgeous weather. Some pop-up showers moving through over the weekend, not a washout, nothing of that nature. So gorgeous weather-wise. And I was going to do the CDC warning about dengue fever, but this was a
dengue.
Dengue.
I got a fever, and the only prescription is more cowbell.
But it was such a dawny, dark newscast that I...
You're going to save that for a big three?
We'll save that later.
Yeah, we'll get dark in the 8 o'clock.
Dengue in the news. But we are sponsored by First Harvest Credit Union, building stronger financial roots. First Harvest Credit Union, open a growth savings account, earn as high as 3.5% annual percentage yield while having flexible access to your funds. Visit firstharvestcu.com. That's firstharvestcu.com for all the deets. Membership restrictions do apply, insured by NCUA. Thank you, First Harvest Credit Union, for sponsoring us here on Kale & Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 855-839-1210, the phone number to jump in. Cut sheet in about 30 minutes. And obviously, thoughts and prayers with that officer who is on a respirator. Last thing we want is for that officer not to survive, which sadly, I'll just transition to our bike ride coming up, which obviously benefits families behind the badge and the Children's Foundation. GregStockerSucks.com if you want to donate or sign up to ride. It's all brought to you by our team sponsor, David Gelman Law Firm. If you're in need of criminal defense or personal injury, GelmanLawFirm.com. They have sponsored our team. The jerseys when you sign up to ride and be a part of our team are absolutely stunning. And we got another donation last night as I was coming home from Bucks County.
Nice.
And so I think we're closing in on 13,000. We're right at about 82% of our 15K goal. So keep them coming because I'd like to hit 15K before we break for the fourth.
We need less than $400 right now to hit 13,000.
Okay.
So if you're listening right now, please donate. GregStockerSucks.com. All the money goes, like Nick said, to the families behind the badge, Children's Foundation. We just need $400 to hit 13,000. So let's try and hit 13,000 before the end of the show. Can we do that?
$400 is a lot of money. Especially in Bidenomics.
It's less than $400. It's like $390.
It's nothing for Linda Kearns.
She's given enough.
I know. Linda's. But, speaking of Linda, could they pick some music or something?
Yeah, what else can we entice people with? What else do you want to give up control of?
Okay.
Control freak?
Give me a $390 donation right now. and you will get the playlist next week.
Ooh.
Next week. Now, remember, next week is a short week, and I'm not going to be here anyway, so it doesn't matter. But next week is a short week. You'll have 3 days, $390 donation right now. You will get to pick all the music for those 3 days. It's like $100 a day.
Yeah.
You get.
Could it be $390.50 just to skew it odd?
Oh, stop.
and $100 a day, you get what, 12 songs? That's 12 spins for $100?
So
that's good value.
Pick the playlist next week for a $390 donation right now to gregsoccersucks.com. All the money goes to the families behind the Vatch Children's Foundation because, yes, like Nick says, it is like now is the time to support officers and their families. All the money goes to local families here. This is a local charity. This is a local organization. Let me say that again, a local organization. So, you know, these officers and their families need your help.
Yes.
So do it now.
There you go. 855-839-1210. We'll come back, continue on. What are debate coaches saying that Joe Biden should avoid tomorrow night in his showdown on CNN against Donald Trump? And Hillary Clinton offers up her advice on what Joe should just kind of kick the can on because, well, 8 years ago, she debated Donald Trump three times, in fact. The details on the other side. Kale and Company, Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Debate coaches, top Democrats, and Hillary Clinton. Let's get into some debate prep talk. Debate tomorrow night. You'll hear it right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Donald Trump, Joe Biden from Atlanta, Georgia. Jake Tapper and Dana Bash, the moderator. So what are debate coaches saying? Well, this story courtesy of the Daily Mail, where they interviewed a trio of debate experts, and they agreed that President Joe Biden can't afford to have a senior moment at tomorrow night's first presidential debate. But they are split amongst these three on whether the format actually helps Joe Biden or former President Donald Trump, which is an interesting thought because I think everything is set up for Joe Biden and to have less of a chance to have screw ups or, you know, to get derailed with a train of thought or, you know, crowd chants, which will not be happening because this place is going to be empty, muted mics, on and on and on. But the first debate coach says, quote, if Biden glitches out, I like that, glitches out like he's like some sort of computer program, then that's the ball game. That's it for him because he has so much more to lose in this debate than President Trump does. That is GOP debate coach Gail Gitcho telling DailyMail.com. Brett O'Donnell, who's also coached GOP presidential candidates, agreed that Biden couldn't afford a major gaffe, but argued it was high stakes just as much for Donald Trump. He says, remember, the rule of debates is this. You can't win an election on a political debate stage, but you can lose it, O'Donnell told the Daily Mail. Donald Trump is winning right now. The only place he can go is down. I mean, I would argue that, yeah, he could go down a little bit, but I can't envision a scenario where Biden has moments that knock Trump down a peg or two. The only thing that can, in theory, kind of take down, and I think the objective, the goal, the mission statement, honestly, based on what we saw Monday with Caroline Leavitt and Casey Hunt from CNN, is very simple. I think CNN wants to take out Donald Trump because they know that Joe Biden really can't take out Donald Trump in a debate setting, no matter how much of a home field advantage he has. Also, a couple of other quotes from these debate coaches. This was Todd Graham, who is a professor of debate at Southern Illinois University. He argues that Biden could end old age concerns by having a successful debate on Thursday. Well, what is a successful debate on Thursday for Joe? I mean, the bar is so low for this guy. I mean, if he can complete sentences, finish thoughts, and maybe actually talk about a vision for the future or a policy achievement in the first term, that might be a starting point for Joe. Again, I don't think he can sit here and just keep doing the same old with democracy and January 6th and dictator, convicted felon. A lot of that stuff is falling on deaf ears. I think, you know, abortion, female reproductive rights, that's probably a winning message. We'll see how much of that message is actually delivered on Thursday night. Graham tells the Daily Mail, I think Biden, if he comes out and has a strong debate, can take 4 years of narrative and wash them right down the toilet. I don't agree with that, because even if Joe Biden is remotely cognitive, even if he is has basic functionality on Thursday night, a lot of people in America still probably believe that Joe Biden could very well die at some point in the second term if he gets elected. Graham says it might wake him up. It has a, if he has a poor debate, he might reconsider either a debate strategy or reconsider running. I don't think Joe's going to reconsider running. I don't think there's anything that anybody can do to get Joe to leave the stage. And we talked about this story before I went on vacation last week, that it would take all four in unison to get Joe to step aside. It would take Dr. Jill. It would take Hillary Clinton. It would take Bill Clinton. It would take Barack Obama. And even then, I still have doubts, because here's Joe Biden, 81 years old, five decades. I mean, remember, he was 29 when he became a senator. This is all the guy knows, and he's hell-bent on beating Trump a second time, and he's angry, he's combative, and he's not going to listen to those individuals. So I don't know that you can really get Joe to step aside. Although I do think one of the reasons why we are having a debate on June 27th, 6 days before the 4th of July, is because it gives the Democrats time. It gives them time up until August, that if Joe Biden is an epic train wreck, which he could very well be, then that gives them the leeway to start looking for a plan B. Or, as we've talked about on this show, maybe the plan is get Joe to the finish line any way possible, try to win on November 5th, and then at some point in his second term, he steps aside. But from a debate coach, let's put our debate coach hat on here for a moment. If you are advising both of these candidates, and we'll get to some of the Trump stuff with Hillary in a moment, but if you're advising Joe Biden, if you're advising Donald Trump, if they both came to you right now and said, what is the key Thursday night for me to shine in that 90 minutes or 2 hours or whatever it might be? Dawn Stenzel, let me start with you. If you are advising, I know what you've said on Trump, you want him to be presidential. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you and I disagree on that. I want him just to come out swinging. I mean, what the heck? You've been found guilty or convicted. You have nothing to lose at this point. I don't think you can really.
He does have something to lose, though.
See, I disagree. Like,
it's think about it.
Who's he going to win over, though, if he gets presidential?
Because it's a sliver of voters. And we talked about it earlier this morning, how CNN is saying, yeah, everybody take us. So everybody's taking CNN. Including not just Fox, but you'll see it across so-called mainstream media. So this is an opportunity to come out and remind people of the peace and prosperity, your actions.
Do you want him to not even take CNN's bait? Should he take
don't
the high
take the
road
bait.
With Tapper and Bash? Assuming his mics don't get muted when he tries to fire back at them?
To me, the audience, to me, the whether it's Dana Bash or whether it's Jake Tapper or even Biden, they're the distraction. Your audience, President Trump, is America.
So you're saying laser focus?
Laser focus. Look into that camera.
Just lay out the
vision. Speak to the American people. Speak to Nick Cale's mother-in-law. And I'm serious.
It'll fall
look
on
into
deaf
that
ears.
Camera and speak to Americans who haven't been able to see you in person without the filter of bias.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're unfiltered. And this is a moment in time to not take the bait, speak to the American people, remind them of the peace and prosperity, your game plan, and the disaster that is Bidenomics. And a sharp contrast, but be presidential, be you, be that guy that I met in the Oval Office with Greg Stocker and Rich Scioli. That guy is the guy I want to see, who's not, I don't even say presidential, just personable. The guy that I
you
met
know,
in there. Like
that's
Nick, after Greg and Zeal and I were in the Oval Office,
yep.
there were a couple of women in this building who said to me, oh, you met Trump?
Uh-huh.
Was that scary?
And you were like, nope.
And I was taken aback, but that's what people have been fed.
Well, that's the portrayal of him
right.
through the mainstream
like, no,
media.
Absolutely not. He was a gentleman. He was actually talking about business. And at that point, the agreement between the U.S., Canada, and but it was really all about policy, and we got to get this done, and workers and jobs. That's what he was like talking about. And he was a good guy. And so the fact that he's portrayed as like the scary boogeyman, I want people to see that the good guy who's doing good things.
You are actually hitting on a really good point. I saw a video clip yesterday of J.D. Vance on some show. And J.D. Vance, one of the questions was, and I forget who was interviewing him. It was somebody in mainstream media. And they said, what should Americans that maybe don't live it on a daily basis know about Trump? How would you advise him in this setting? Which is interesting because he's on the short list as vice president. So I think you got to be careful, you know, with your words if you're in consideration. And he said, show your personality, show your personable side, show your family side, your people side. And J.D. Vance said something that's very interesting. He said, Trump's a people person.
Yeah.
Trump will, whether it's walking into a restaurant after a rally, a gas station, on the golf course, he just likes to converse with people about everyday things. And yes, sometimes the camera's on him, but I've got to imagine J.D. Vance and others, and you've seen this. I mean, you guys weren't on camera when you met him behind the scenes. You know, he can't stop talking, and he's very conversational. But to your point, you know, CNN and MSNBC and all the outlets, you know, they portray him as Hitler, as a dictator, as an angry, evil guy. And if you've ever had those, you know, intimate settings with him, whether it's, you know, part of the show, whether the cameras and mics are on or they're not, he is much more personable, not only than what the media gives him credit for, than Joe Biden is, honestly.
Yeah.
You know, like, and the perfect example, I think, is, and again, you take it for what it's worth because it's post-rally and you're out and you've got your Secret Service with you and there's cameras everywhere. Remember when Joe went into the gas station after whatever venue he was at? And forget crowd sizes. Yeah, you know, Joe just went in to get, I think, something to eat at a Wawa, and it was very minimal interaction. And forget the hoopla and hysteria and fanfare. But he wasn't even, I think part of the reason is because he is where he is mentally at 81. And he just wasn't very approachable. Not to say that he was anger or bitter, but he was just kind of, you know, in and out. Meanwhile, Trump goes in and it's, you know, McDonald's for this person and five pizzas for this one. And J.D. Vance made a great point in this interview when Trump showed up unannounced to East Palestine and he brought cases of water. It's a simple gesture. And it's obviously political because Biden neglected East Palestine after the, you know, the train derailment for so many months and months and months, because I think that district or that region voted 73% Trump. And we know, you know, the politics of it, but it's just those things. Like, he never gets credit for that. Like, he'll sit there and say there's going to be bloodshed in regards to the automobile industry. Right. And then they take that clip out of context. But they never want to show you the fact that, you know, he showed up with 32 cases of Aquafina, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so those things, to your point, I think those things do matter. And I think if you look at it objectively, you'll see that, you know, off the beaten path, he's pretty approachable, right? Like, yeah. When we interviewed him back on May 10th, you know, he got on the phone with us and it wasn't like, you know, like you were, like I wasn't shell-shocked. You certainly were not. It was only my first time ever speaking to him. But he was very conversational. Now, maybe it had to do with our line of questioning. I mean, I'm not sitting there grilling him on, you know, the debt or anything like that. I asked him about his son, and that clip obviously went viral, just like your Title IX clip. But my God, it was, I got people asking me afterwards, were you nervous? I mean, it's kind of a big deal. And I'm like, no, he was very approachable, right?
Yep. And that's just it. You felt like you've known him for a long time. And that's, he just makes you feel very comfortable, and you realize, you know, this is a human being. This is, and that's just it. They've made him into this monster, and they've dehumanized not just Trump, but Trump supporters.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's, so I just hope he keep looking into the camera, forget Dana and Jake Tapper, forget Biden. Just talk to the American people and just be that personable individual. Talk about your care for the American people, what everybody's been through. I hope that he doesn't take the bait in talking about the past election, because you know that's, they're going to ask about the last election, or Biden will bring it up. Don't take that bait. Talk about the future. Talk about America. And you know, just remind people that actions speak louder than words.
Yeah. Greg and I were having a conversation last night before we did the start of the politics and pints with Jack Carr and Zioli, and there was some potential clients, and we were chatting with one of the guys who was very, very sharp, and he was talking about, you know, a Trump second term and Trump's vice president and the debates, and to your point, he was saying, you know, which Trump, and he's a Trump guy, but he goes, which Trump are we going to get? Are we going to get the Trump that kind of shoots from the hip and does what he wants to do, or the Trump that should do what he needs to do? And I think that's kind of what you're talking about, because he might very well go into the debate tomorrow night with the blueprint that you're talking about, but 5-10 minutes in, I mean, he might pivot away from that based on something Joe says, based on a way a moderator treats him. So we might get the Trump that I'm asking for a few minutes in.
We're definitely going to get the Trump you're asking
That's
for.
What
There's
I'm thinking.
Zero chance that he's going to be able to.
I'd be stunned if
bite his tongue and hold. Like, when has he ever done that? When has he ever displayed that he could ever do that?
And
never.
And that's my point, is I don't really want him to, because after all of it, it's just, you know, like at some point, whether, you know, he's partially to blame for what came his way, or he has no blame in it or whatever, like eventually it's like they've been taking the fight to you, and granted, you've been fighting back, and that's what makes Trump so great. But like eventually it's like, you know what, the gloves are off. Sean Farish has said it. I'm done fighting fire with water. It's time to fight fire with fire. You want to prosecute us? We'll prosecute you. Dude, just go down in a blaze of glory. That's the way I'm looking at it. I mean, what do you have to lose? Well, you have a lot to lose, honestly,
yeah.
Right? But like at this point, dude, just you know, take your shot, shoot or shoot.
But I think to come off as one dimensional, this is what I'll say, is a mistake. And I hope that he brings heart into it. And like I say, just that conversational doer, somebody who is not. Even though, yes, to Greg's earlier point, you know, you talked about the fact that, well, you know, he's been running now nearly a decade. He won in 2016. I still think remind the American people that you're a businessman, you're a dad, you're a granddad. And also remind people, you know, right now I know that Julian Assange lawyers are speaking out, and we'll talk about that, and we've teased that upcoming. But, you know, as far as Trump had talked about Assange, and that really plays into this whole situation of, you know, what is the government behind the scenes doing to all of us? And somebody who revealed that, no matter how you might feel about Julian Assange, the fact that he cut this plea deal back home, obviously in Australia after being processed, I just think that's also an opening for Trump to talk about the government.
All right, 855-839-1210. The cut sheet is coming up next here on a Wednesday on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Let's get to a midweek edition of What's on the Cut Sheet.
What's on the Cut Sheet?
What's on the Cut Sheet on this Wednesday? Always the best day of the Cut Sheet. Sure. Why not? It's sponsored by Jerry Hill Volvo, where they have amazingly competitive pricing plus an additional $1,000 discount on all new Volvos. Jerry Hill Volvo is where relationships really do matter. Judith Yosef and the entire team look forward to meeting you. Check them out at Route 70 in Cherry Hill. Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter. Guys, I want to start off with a new commercial for you. Have you heard of Bidenica?
Bidenica?
Bidenica. It's a new It's a new sleep aid that I think everybody should try.
Okay.
This is courtesy of our friend Jimmy Fallon.
Bidenica. Okay, I'm picking up on a Bidenica.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I gotcha.
If you have trouble sleeping, if you're up here now at 7:50 in the morning and rubbing that sleep out of your eyes.
Who started 6 a.m.?
We're going to work. Maybe try Bidenica.
Yeah, coffee hasn't hit you yet.
Cut 9, Philip. Go.
If you're having trouble sleeping, ask your doctor about Bidenica, the sleep aid made from 100% Joe Biden press conference.
The best way to get something done, if it holds near and dear to you that you like to be able to... Anyway.
Bidenica has a patented blend of confusion and forgetfulness that will calm the most overactive brains.
COVID has taken this year, just since the outbreak, has taken
more than 100 years. Look, here's the lives. It's just, it's, I mean, you think about it.
The disclaimers at the bottom.
When they sold out American jobs and killed the Keystone Pipeline, it kept me up all night worrying about how we pay our bills. But then I got Bidenica. And I've never slept better.
Sometimes when I get hopped up on sugar, my parents give me Bidenica so I pass out. Other times they give it to me during the day, probably so they can do the deed. Gross.
Warning. People who have used Bidenica have experienced rampant lying and an inability to secure the southern border. Others have hallucinated and fought breakfast cereal.
Corn Pop was a bad dude.
Ask your doctor if Bidenica is right for you.
There you go.
Oh, man. How great is that? Wow.
By the way, if you were watching on YouTube, youtube.com/at1210WPHT, you saw the commercial, too,
and
by the way.
The disclaimers at the bottom, do not take if you walk upstairs or operate heavy machinery.
One of the benefits of watching this program on YouTube,
yes.
youtube.com/at1210WPHT, if you want
and the,
to. Well,
yeah. Yeah. And the recommended dosage there was 150 milligrams, by the way. Man, said it right there.
Speaking of the border, there's something about the border in that. This from NBC Nightly News. Dozens of illegals with potential ties to ISIS are in our country.
As right. Dawn has been reporting.
Sleep well, folks.
Yes, take Bidenica if you can.
This is Cut 13, Philip. Go.
Tonight, NBC News has learned more than 50 migrants with potential ties to an ISIS-affiliated smuggling network are at large in America. Many illegally crossed the border and were released into the U.S. by Border Patrol because there was no information suggesting terror ties at the time. Now, their whereabouts are unknown as immigration agents look to arrest them.
Hang on. There was no... At the time. They had no ties to ISIS or Al-Qaeda.
Yeah.
Now, however, they're like third in command.
Oh, well, after spending some time in Dearborn, Michigan, it all comes out. You know, what are you going to do? Jeez Louise.
It's unbelievable.
What are we doing here?
We continue, Philip. Go.
Officials tell us, saying they're among a group of over 400 migrants DHS identified in the U.S. from Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, Moldova, Kyrgyzstan, Georgia and Russia as subjects of concern.
Lots of
because they were brought to the U.S. by an ISIS-affiliated smuggling network, something the FBI director warned about earlier this year.
Some of the overseas facilitators of the smuggling network have ISIS ties that we're very concerned about.
ICE has located and arrested over 150 of the 400 migrants so far, with some already deported from the U.S., officials say, adding authorities are not panicking because their ties to ISIS are not certain. But they're prioritizing their arrest out of an abundance of caution.
Right.
The problem is the volume of people coming across the southern border, individuals from ISIS and other affiliated groups
ISIS.
Have
mostly
recognized
peaceful.
It as a weak point in our defense.
Women and children,
and they're
guys.
Using this opportunity to try to sneak in.
Yeah.
NBC News was first to report on a similar arrest of an Uzbek man in Baltimore, whose country alerted the U.S. he was affiliated with ISIS. That man, like the others apprehended so far, was arrested on immigration charges, not terrorism-related charges. ISIS-K has claimed responsibility for deadly terror attacks
ISIS-K.
In Russia and Iran in the past year.
It's the killer
division. And recently, the DHS Inspector General sharply criticizing vetting at the U.S. southern border, saying DHS is at risk of admitting dangerous persons into the country or enabling asylum seekers who may pose significant threats to public safety and national security to continue to reside in the United States.
Two senior law enforcement officials told NBC News they are not tracking a terror plot from this group of migrants.
That's good.
But their arrest on immigration charges come out of an abundance of caution.
Right.
They're just an abundance of caution.
You never be too careful these days, right? You know, you're tracking down grandmothers from January 6th, and here comes ISIS through the back door. ISIS-K, by the way, more of a radical branch than ISIS-H or ISIS-J. You have ISIS-K. It's like the new variant of terrorism. And they're mostly peaceful until they blow stuff up. God. Well, this is what happens when you have an open southern border. This is what happens when your FBI is more focused on domestic terrorists.
Well, if you're not worried about ISIS-K coming across the border, then maybe this individual, who has been charged with sexual battery involving three girls and a woman at a Virginia water park.
Waiting in line to go down the log flumes, and then yeah.
What country do you think he's from, by the way?
Yeah, I'll go El Salvador for 200, Alex.
Or Venezuela.
Yeah, Venezuela's a good one. I might be the leader.
This is cut 8, Phil, go.
The man charged with sexual battery involving three girls and a woman at Water Country, USA, was in a York County court this morning. Zia Ulak Fariki faces several charges. Ah! At his arraignment this morning, he required a translator because English is not his first language.
Shocking!
When asked if he needed a court-appointed attorney, he answered through the translator, telling the judge, quote, I am an immigrant and don't have any money. His next court date is July 17th.
There you go.
Yeah. No, English is not his first language. Raping females is.
Oh, boy.
Put that guy away forever.
Boy.
Get rid of all of these people. I'm tired of it. Hit them with the absolute maximum.
Yeah.
First of all, you shouldn't be here. And second of all, if you do get here illegally, why don't you just do something productive as opposed to doing deviant things at a water park?
This, you know, all of these stories with, and especially the little girl, Jocelyn Nungary, right. The 12-year-old.
Yes. And, tragic.
Oh, my gosh. You know, and that's just it. I hope. No matter what they say, the first opportunity in the debate tomorrow, whether they ask Trump about it or not, he needs, you know, I hope that he says their names.
Mm-hmm.
Say Jocelyn's names, right? Say Lake and Riley's
right.
names. Say their names.
Mm-hmm. All of them.
All of them.
I just saw there was an ad yesterday that was on social media with all the women that have either been raped or killed or sexually assaulted and killed. And there's, I don't know, it's got to be 15 or 20 now. And yeah, you can sit there and say, well, you know, 10 million people total, and, you know, these things happen. Say that to the parents. Say that to a parent that had a daughter that had to endure this, where you can argue strongly that maybe it doesn't happen if the border was more protected.
It's funny, because that line of, you know, when people say that, it's like, well, you know, if you talk about all the people that... No, these are the most preventable things that we can do as citizens, as a country, to prevent from happening.
I'd like to think so.
And we don't do it.
Nope.
So that's the frustrating thing about this is, yes, okay, maybe it's a small number of people, but they shouldn't have been here to begin with. Mm-hmm. What are we doing?
Right.
Like, it's just, it's effing nauseating.
It is.
But to your point, that's, when people in the media keep saying that, well, when you look at the immigrant community in America, they have a lower crime rate. Yeah, that's the point.
Yeah.
They do. They drive. You can talk to anybody. They drive slower. They're more careful, whether they're here on a green card. Maybe they're here seeking asylum or illegally because they're family people. They want to stay here and they want to get through the process, etc. That's why those individuals are attracted to a Trump,
mm-hmm.
because the Biden administration has made their community front and center, the first line of victims these bad people coming into their community.
Heck, we played you the clip, I think we took it right off the TV feed of Fox News, when Bill Malusian was interviewing people at the border, and they were saying, oh, they love Joe Biden. Of course they love Joe Biden. Joe Biden's in, his administration's the one letting them in here.
Yeah. Yeah, crime happens. You know, we have homegrown crime right here in the good old USA. I get it. But, like, let's not bring more in.
Right.
Yeah, but this isn't just, you know, this is not just crime du jour. These in particular are heinous killings that would make national news no matter what. A missing child, and to the Jocelyn Nungary case, a missing child who now turns up tortured, and we now know was held for hours and assaulted and ravaged, and I mean, it's just bound and gagged. And these crimes would make national news. Even if they were, even if this was like a citizen doing this to a child.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So they're heinous crimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's a great point for all the people that, you know, says, well, the news looks to glorify violence and crimes. Yeah. That's what the news is there for.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, it's not news that, like, everything is good today in Philadelphia.
Right.
That's not news.
It was sunny and nobody got shot.
I mean, it is news.
Now on to the sports.
If nobody got shot in Philadelphia, that would be news,
that
actually.
No, what it shows is these individuals, they're released from, like, the Venezuelan guy that's accused in the Jocelyn Nungary. He's a guy who they're saying is accused of crimes back in Venezuela.
Mm-hmm.
And they're some of the most dangerous, wanted people in their home country. And now been unleashed on our kids and our communities.
And as you mentioned in the news this morning, I think in the 6 o'clock hour, forget Venezuela for a second. We've got people here that committed a crime 11 years ago, were found guilty of whatever you said in the first hour of the news, from Puerto Rico. That's a territory of the United States.
Right.
And somehow it slips through the cracks. And it's like, how is it slipping through the cracks? Who's not doing their job? Who needs to be fired?
We should turn the tables, and everybody who's committed of causing a heinous crime here, we should deport them.
Yeah. Americans. Even,
yes, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, if Bob Smith does
send them
Bob,
to Venezuela.
Out.
Yeah.
Get out.
Bob Smith is now a resident of Venezuela.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Here you go.
Well, if Trump wants to issue the biggest mass deportation program ever, we might have to throw some Americans in.
Did you see the other day Trump said that he asked Dana White about doing
a
migrant fighting league?
Because they're very dangerous individuals. It'd be great business.
Yeah. Oh, man. Jim Acosta was so upset about that. He's he's advocating a fight club.
Take all the criminals and let them wipe each other out. I don't care.
It's hysterical.
It'll save taxpayer dollars.
All right, guys. The real victims in America today are the drag queens and LGBTQ people.
Yeah, I had a moment of silence earlier. I thought about that.
And this is not... when I first saw this, I was like, is this an SNL skit? Nope. A drag queen was interviewed on CNN yesterday morning, talking about how scary it is for queer people to exist in this time.
Okay. In Pride Month. Your month. Breathe, Greg. Breathe.
YouTube.com/at1210WPHD. YouTube.com/at1210WPHD if you want to see this video. If you can't see the video, Nick Kale, my friend, for those people working on a construction site or driving to work, if you want to describe this individual for the people who can't get to YouTube.
Oh, I'd be glad to.
This is cut one. Phil, go.
I'm curious for you, first of all, what this day means to you.
Britney Spears,
all,
pink costume.
Have both Democrats and Republicans agreed to meet with you?
Big eyelashes.
Yes, we will be meeting with both Democrats and Republicans. And I'm really excited to go speak with all of our lawmakers about the attacks that we're seeing on our LGBTQ community.
Bridget
it's
Bandit.
So important to Bridget talk Bandit. About and to discuss protections for our queer community. Can I let you listen to the current sentiment that's being shared by former President Donald Trump?
Uh-oh. Of course, can I ask you about
your hat? Is running for re-election. Here it is.
We're going to take care of our capital. On day one, I was signed a new executive order to cut federal funding of any school pushing critical race theory, transgender insanity, and other inappropriate racial, sexual, or political content onto the lives of our children.
I love that.
In those three things, he mentions what he calls transgender insanity. If he's voted in as the next president, what will that mean to you?
Uh-oh. I won't be able to wear my hat.
We already see so many attacks on our queer community. I already don't feel safe.
I'll be out of mascara.
In my own hometown, just dressed in drag like this. And it's very scary for queer people to exist in a time where we see this kind of rhetoric being pushed by our lawmakers and the people who should care about other issues that actually affect the American people, other than attacking our community, our LGBTQIA plus community. It's very disappointing, and I hope for better for our country.
So scary, guys. So scary that she's being interviewed on CNN.
Yes, yeah. from a hotel room.
She's fearing for her life being interviewed on CNN. Does anybody understand the absurd nature of her statement?
I'm still trying to figure out where her actual eyeballs are. Because there's just so many different levels and shades of eyelashes. And I mean, even J.D. Vance was impressed with that level of mascara. But, you know, on a Wednesday on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and the free Odyssey app.
Let's get to a midweek edition of What's on the Cut Sheet.
What's on the Cut Sheet?
What's on the Cut Sheet on this Wednesday? Always the best day of the Cut Sheet. Sure. Why not? It's sponsored by Jerry Hill Volvo, where they have amazingly competitive pricing, plus an additional $1,000 discount on all new Volvos. Jerry Hill Volvo is where relationships really do matter. Judith Yosef and the entire team look forward to meeting you. Check them out at Route 70 in Cherry Hill. Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter. Guys, I want to start off with a new commercial for you. Have you heard of Bidenica?
Bidenica?
Bidenica. It's a new...
No.
It's a new sleep aid that I think everybody should... Should try.
Okay.
This is courtesy of our friend Jimmy Fallon.
Bidenica. Okay, I'm picking up on a Bidenica.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I gotcha.
If you have trouble sleeping, if you're up here now at 7:50 in the morning and rubbing that sleep out of your eyes.
Who started 6 a.m.?
We're going to work. Maybe try Bidenica.
Yeah, coffee hasn't hit you yet.
Cut 9, Philip. Go.
If you're having trouble sleeping, ask your doctor about Bidenica, the sleep aid made from 100% Joe Biden press conference.
The best way to get something done, if you hold near and dear to you that you like to be able to... Anyway.
Bidenica has a patented blend of confusion and forgetfulness that will calm the most overactive brains.
COVID has taken this year, just since the outbreak, has taken more than 100 years. Look, here's the lives. You think about it.
The disclaimer's at the bottom.
When they sold out American jobs and killed the Keystone Pipeline, it kept me up all night worrying about how we pay our bills. But then I got Bidenica. And I've never slept better.
Sometimes when I get hopped up on sugar, my parents give me Bidenica so I pass out. Other times they give it to me during the day, probably so they can do the deed. Gross.
Warning. People who have used Bidenica have experienced rampant lying and an inability to secure the southern border. Others have hallucinated and fought breakfast cereal.
Corn Pop was a bad dude.
Ask your doctor if Bidenica is right for you.
There you go.
Oh, man, how great is that? Wow.
By the way, if you were watching on YouTube, youtube.com/at1210WPHT, you saw the commercial, too,
and
by the way.
The disclaimer's at the bottom. Do not take if you walk upstairs or operate heavy machinery.
One of the benefits of watching this program on YouTube,
yes.
youtube.com/at1210WPHT, if you want
and the,
to. Well,
yeah. Yeah, and the recommended dosage there is 150 milligrams, by the way. Man, said it right there.
Speaking of the border, there's something about the border in that. This from NBC Nightly News. Dozens of illegals with potential ties to ISIS are in our country.
As right. Dawn has been reporting.
Sleep well, folks.
Yes, take Bidenica if you can.
This is Cut 13, Philip. Go.
Night, NBC News has learned more than 50 migrants with potential ties to an ISIS-affiliated smuggling network are at large in America. Many illegally crossed the border and were released into the U.S. by Border Patrol because there was no information suggesting terror ties at the time. Now, their whereabouts are unknown as immigration agents look to arrest them.
Hang on. U.S. There was no... At the time. They had no ties to ISIS or Al-Qaeda.
Yeah.
Now, however, they're like third in command.
Oh, well, you know, after spending some time in Dearborn, Michigan, it all comes out. You know, what are you going to do? Jeez Louise.
It's unbelievable.
What are we doing here?
We continue, Philip. Go.
Officials tell us, saying they're among a group of over 400 migrants DHS identified in the U.S. from Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, Moldova, Kyrgyzstan, Georgia and Russia as subjects of concern.
Lots of stands.
Because they were brought to the U.S. by an ISIS-affiliated smuggling network, something the FBI director warned about earlier this year.
Some of the overseas facilitators of the smuggling network have ISIS ties that we're very concerned about.
ICE has located and arrested over 150 of the 400 migrants so far, with some already deported from the U.S., officials say, adding authorities are not panicking because their ties to ISIS are not certain. But they're prioritizing their arrest out of an abundance of caution.
Right.
The problem is the volume of people coming across the southern border, individuals from ISIS and other affiliated groups
ISIS.
Have
mostly
recognized
peaceful.
It as a weak point in our defense.
Women and children,
and they're
guys.
Using this opportunity to try to sneak in.
Yeah.
NBC News was first to report on a similar arrest of an Uzbek man in Baltimore, whose country alerted the U.S. he was affiliated with ISIS. That man, like the others apprehended so far, was arrested on immigration charges, not terrorism-related charges. ISIS-K has claimed responsibility for deadly terror attacks in Russia and Iran in the past year.
It's the killer
division. And recently, the DHS Inspector General sharply criticizing vetting at the U.S. southern border, saying DHS is at risk of admitting dangerous persons into the country or enabling asylum seekers who may pose significant threats to public safety and national security to continue to reside in the United States.
Two senior law enforcement officials told NBC News they are not tracking a terror plot from this group of migrants.
That's good.
But their arrest on immigration charges come out of an abundance of caution.
Right.
They're just an abundance of caution.
You never be too careful these days, right? You know, you're tracking down grandmothers from January 6th, and here comes ISIS through the back door. ISIS-K, by the way, more of a radical branch than ISIS-H or ISIS-J. You have ISIS-K. It's like the new variant of terrorism. And they're mostly peaceful until they blow stuff up. God. Well, this is what happens when you have an open southern border. This is what happens when your FBI is more focused on domestic terrorists.
Well, if you're not worried about ISIS-K coming across the border, then maybe this individual, who has been charged with sexual battery involving three girls and a woman at a Virginia water park.
Waiting in line to go down the log flumes, and then
what country do you think he's from? By the way,
I'll go El Salvador for 200, Alex.
Venezuela.
Yeah, Venezuela is a good one. I might be the leader.
This is cut 8. Phil, go.
The man charged with sexual battery involving three girls and a woman at Water Country, USA, was in a York County court this morning. Ziaulak Fariki faces several charges.
Ah!
At his arraignment this morning, he required a translator because English is not his first language.
Shocking!
When asked if he needed a court-appointed attorney, he answered through the translator, telling the judge, quote, "I am an immigrant and don't have any money." His next court date is July 17th.
There you go.
Yeah. No, English is not his first language. Raping females is.
Oh, boy.
Put that guy away forever.
Boy.
Get rid of all of these people. I'm tired of it. Hit them with the absolute maximum.
Yeah.
First of all, you shouldn't be here. And second of all, if you do get here illegally, why don't you just do something productive as opposed to doing deviant things at a water park?
This, you know, all of these stories with, and especially the little girl, Jocelyn Nungary, the 12-year-old.
Yes. And, tragic.
Oh, my gosh. You know, and that's just it. I hope no matter what they say, the first opportunity in the debate tomorrow, whether they ask Trump about it or not, he needs, you know, I hope that he says their names.
Mm-hmm.
Say Jocelyn's names, right? Say Lake and Riley's names. Say their names.
Mm-hmm. All of them.
All of them.
I just saw there was an ad yesterday that was on social media with all the women that have either been raped or killed or sexually assaulted and killed. And there's, I don't know, it's got to be 15 or 20 now. And yeah, you can sit there and say, well, you know, 10 million people total. And, you know, these things happen. Say that to the parents. Say that to a parent that has a daughter that had to endure this, where you can argue strongly that maybe it doesn't happen if the border was more protected.
It's funny because that line of, you know, when people say that, it's like, well, you know, if you talk about all the people that... No, these are the most preventable things that we can do as citizens, as a country, to prevent from happening.
I'd like to think so.
And we don't do it.
Nope.
So that's the frustrating thing about this is, yes, okay, maybe it's a small number of people, but they shouldn't have been here to begin with. Mm-hmm. What are we doing?
Right.
Like, it's just, it's effing nauseating.
It is.
But to your point, that's, when people in the media keep saying that, well, when you look at the immigrant community in America, they have a lower crime rate. Yeah, that's the point.
Yeah.
They do. They drive. You can talk to anybody. They drive slower. They're more careful, whether they're here on a green card. Maybe they're here seeking asylum or illegally because they're family people. They want to stay here and they want to get through the process, etc. That's why those individuals are attracted to a Trump,
mm-hmm.
because the Biden administration has made their community front and center the first line of victims people coming into their community.
Heck, we played you the clip, I think we took it right off the TV feed of Fox News, when Bill Malusian was interviewing people at the border, and they were saying, oh, they love Joe Biden. Of course they love Joe Biden. Joe Biden's in, his administration's the one letting them in here.
Yeah. Yeah, crime happens. You know, we have homegrown crime right here in the good old USA. I get it. But, like, let's not bring more in.
Right.
Yeah, but this isn't just, you know, this is not just crime du jour. These in particular are heinous killings that would make national news no matter what. A missing child, and to the Jocelyn Ungaro case, a missing child who now turns up tortured, and we now know was held for hours and assaulted and ravaged, and I mean, it's just bound and gagged. And these crimes would make national news, even if they were, even if this was a citizen doing this to a child.
Yeah,
do you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So they're heinous crimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great point for all the people that says, well, the news looks to glorify violence and crimes. Yeah, that's what the news is there for.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not news that, like, everything is good today in Philadelphia.
Right.
That's not news.
It was sunny and nobody got shot.
I mean, it is news.
Now on to the sports.
If nobody got shot in Philadelphia, that would be news, actually.
Now, what it shows is these individuals, they're released from, like, the Venezuelan guy, that's accused in the Jocelyn Ungaro. He's a guy who they're saying is accused of crimes back in Venezuela.
Mm-hmm.
And they're some of the most dangerous wanted people in their home country. And now they've been unleashed on our kids and our communities.
And as you mentioned in the news this morning, I think in the 6 o'clock hour, forget Venezuela for a second. We've got people here that committed a crime 11 years ago, were found guilty of whatever you said in the first hour of the news, from Puerto Rico. That's a territory of the United States.
Right.
And somehow it slips through the cracks. And it's like, how is it slipping through the cracks? Who's not doing their job? Who needs to be fired?
We should turn the tables, and everybody who's committed of causing a heinous crime here, we should deport them.
Yeah. Americans.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. If Bob Smith does
send them
Bob
to Venezuela.
Out.
Yeah.
Get out.
Bob Smith is now a resident of Venezuela.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Here you go.
Well, if Trump wants to issue the biggest mass deportation program ever, we might have to throw some Americans in.
Did you see the other day Trump said that he asked Dana White about doing
a
migrant fighting league?
Because they're very dangerous individuals. It'd be great business.
Yeah. Oh, man. Jim Acosta was so upset about that. He's he's advocating a fight club.
Take all the criminals and let them wipe each other out. I don't care.
It's hysterical.
It'll save taxpayer dollars.
All right, guys. The real victims in America today are the drag queens and LGBTQ people.
Yeah, I had a moment of silence earlier. I thought about that.
And this is not... when I first saw this, I was like, is this an SNL skit? Nope. A drag queen was interviewed on CNN yesterday morning, talking about how scary it is for queer people to exist in this time.
Okay. In Pride Month. Your month. Breathe, Greg. Breathe.
YouTube.com/at1210WPHD. YouTube.com/at1210WPHD if you want to see this video. If you can't see the video, Nick Kale, my friend, for those people working on a construction site or driving to work, if you want to describe this individual for the people who can't get to YouTube.
Oh, I'd be glad to.
This is called One Phil Go.
I'm curious for you, first of all, what this day means to you.
Britney Spears,
all,
pink
both
costume.
Have Democrats and Republicans agreed to meet with you?
Big eyelashes.
Yes, we will be meeting with both Democrats and Republicans. And I'm really excited to go speak with all of our lawmakers about the attacks that we're seeing on our LGBTQ community. And to discuss protections for our queer community. Can I let you listen to the current sentiment that's being shared by former President Donald Trump?
Uh-oh.
Can I ask you about your hat?
Running for re-election. Here it is.
Going to take care of our capital. On day one, I will sign a new executive order to cut federal funding of any school pushing critical race theory, transgender insanity, and other inappropriate racial, sexual, or political content onto the lives of our children.
I love that.
In those three things, he mentions what he calls transgender insanity. If he's voted in as the next president, what will that mean to you?
Uh-oh. I won't be able to wear my hat.
We already see so many attacks on our queer community. I already don't feel safe.
I'll be out of mascara.
In my own hometown, just dressed in drag like this. And it's very scary for queer people to exist in a time where we see this kind of rhetoric being pushed by our lawmakers and the people who should care about other issues that actually affect the American people, other than attacking our community, our LGBTQIA plus community. It's very disappointing, and I hope for better for our country.
So scary, guys. So scary that she's being interviewed on CNN.
Yes, yeah. from a hotel room.
She's fearing for her life. Being interviewed on CNN. Does anybody understand the absurd nature of her statement?
I'm still trying to figure out where her actual eyeballs are because there's just so many different levels and shades of eyelashes. And I mean, even J.D. Vance was impressed with that level of mascara. my takeaway is there. Did you see what Trump said in that clip, which, by the way, it's a lot of the DeSantis school culture war stuff, which, again, I think you have to be careful with how much, and Trump doesn't make that a big part of his platform at all. But he used the word insanity. And of course, that's the buzzword that the anchor there on CNN took and used as like a way to say, oh my God, Trump's gonna make life terrible for everybody in your community. He's not doing that. He's just trying to end the ridiculous stuff that we're putting on our kids and pushing on our kids at 7 years old. By the way, when's the last time we've seen in mainstream media a big, big story of somebody from the LGBTQ community being attacked?
Let me just say this again. Adults, like, you be you. You do whatever you want. I do not care. I don't care if you're gay, if you're trans, if you're whatever. You just be happy. That's all I care about.
Or be miserable.
But to say that this is, it's an unprecedented time for, like, are you, like, are we living in the same world?
Because ask gay people how they had it 40 years ago,
exactly.
50 years ago.
And by the way, gay people see this and they're like, really, sweetie?
Right.
You're going to complain about...
Like everything that they fought for and achieved, like it's now a mockery, right?
Yeah.
They look at the trans individuals and they're like, you know, you don't speak for me. You don't represent me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, I don't know what it was like in the 70s or 80s because I was a young child, but I've got to imagine there are many people that just are either lesbian or gay or bisexual, and they see some of this. I mean, heck, Martina Navratilova is a lesbian Democrat, great tennis icon, and she is, like, so appalled by the way the trans community acts, especially with Title IX and their infiltration of women's sports, and she's not a conservative. She's a Democrat lesbian who votes for Joe Biden. Even she thinks they've lost their mind.
We talked yesterday about the Surgeon General declaring the, what was it? Gun violence is an
epidemic.
Epidemic. And I made the point, we made the point on the show yesterday that when are they going to declare the obesity problem in this country an epidemic?
Yeah, a lot of people were reacting to your comment on that.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people didn't like it, but, you know, I don't care. I don't care. That is the killer. Like, you want to know what's killing people? It ain't guns.
Yeah.
It's processed
foods.
It's bad health. Yeah. That's what's killing people.
But why declare this?
Yeah.
Because we're not at the height of their so-called gun violence.
But we are,
so
Dawn.
So why declare it now, 5 months before the election?
I've got a story from CBS Philadelphia that says crime and violent gun attacks are down in the city of Philadelphia. So why declare that, Dawn? Well,
So getting back to... See, the problem is that we consider everybody who has a weight problem, an obesity problem. It's a mental health problem. We just don't need fat. Fat is beautiful, and we don't need to shame them. And they're being oppressed, and all of this. So I give you TikTok here. This is cut six, Phil. There's now a fatness spectrum.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, small fat, mid fat, super fat, infinite fat. And you can determine on the fatness spectrum. I kid you not. This is a YouTube clip that I'm going to play in a second.
This is horrible. So now you're super fat?
It's like when you had those t-shirts back in the day and you were between like a small and a medium and you said, yeah, I wear a schmedium.
If you're small fat.
Small fat.
Why are you, you should not be speaking over super fats.
So super fats so there's take like, precedence?
Yes. It's like a spectrum.
Right.
And if you're on the top of the spectrum, you are the most oppressed person.
Right.
If you're at the bottom of the spectrum, it's like small fat.
It's like the victimhood pyramid chart.
Can you make sense of this insanity?
I mean, I'll do my best.
Cut six, Phil, go.
Okay, this is the fatness spectrum. A small fat is a size 18 and lower, 1X or 2X. I'm a 4X, 5X. I'm a size 26.
Wow.
Sometimes 28.
Wow.
I am the super fat you say I'm speaking over. Okay.
She's super fat.
Yeah, if we could leave that
super fat.
Phil, if you could leave that chart up, I just want to read some of that to the audience. So small fat is 1 to 2 times.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what torrid means. Torrid of a 0 to a 1. Mid fat is 2X to 3X.
Mid fat.
20 to 24. Torrid of 2 to 3. Super fat is 4X to 5X, 26 to 32, torrid of 4 to 5. 4 to 6. And Infinifat.
Infinifat.
Infinifat. To Infinifat and beyond. 6 Buzz times in higher. 34 and higher. Some towards 6. I don't know how long that full clip is, but if whatever.
14, I just pulled a 14-second clip.
I mean, 14 seconds, you could have done, I don't know, 5 sit-ups. I mean, like, what? See, the problem is with all these people.
Oh, Nick.
Is just.
Oh, you're triggering people, my friend.
Just go do something more productive with your time than concocting these absurd pyramids that nobody subscribes to. Nobody cares what you have to say. Nobody's going to buy this nonsense. We're giving you more airtime than you probably got on TikTok to begin with.
Sorry.
And reaching more people.
Sorry.
Just get outside.
Yeah.
Dawn said that he's going to be 96. Go for a walk.
Maybe not today.
Take a jog. Go to Panera. Hey, do something.
Sweat a little bit.
Sweat. Get perspire.
Get the heart rate above,
12. Gosh. With all due respect, and again, I've said this many times on the show, if you have some sort of, issue with weight, you've done everything you can, and all that prevents it is surgery. Again, you need the surgery. God bless you. But if it's just you being lazy that has resulted in you turning into a right tackle, then I don't feel bad for you. Get off social media.
You know what, though? I think more and more, I believe that in America, what is different with this epidemic, and particularly with children, and then you look at the ingredients of cereal is the worst, okay? We in America.
I don't eat it.
I
can't tell you the last time I bought a box of cereal, Dawn.
Okay, good. But that's what kids eat.
Good for you.
But seriously, they highly process this food. And part of this is the lobbying groups and the pharmaceuticals. So they want us to be fat. They want kids to be fat so that then they can profit by all the treatments.
Of course.
So the number one thing that anybody should talk about is community garden, teach nutrition in schools. We're teaching pronouns and all this other stuff. Teach nutrition in schools, have gardens, have the kids plant a garden, which, by the way, the seeds are like $1 at the dollar store.
Yeah.
Plant veggies and fruits and stuff like that.
Plant a tomato.
Teach it in school and have community gardens where the kids grow. It'd be so cool, and what a great lesson. And by the way, when you grow a garden and then you're talking, you can do math, you can make that a holistic learning thing too.
Yeah.
So then you're learning about health and eating fresh vegetables.
Yes.
And here in Philadelphia, what do we see in major cities, especially post-pandemic? The shutdown of the grocery stores, and people don't have access to all those fruits and veggies.
Yes.
So why not do that?
Eat a salad. And by the way, when you eat the salad, don't throw in 2 pounds of shredded cheese and 16 ounces of Hidden Valley Ranch, because it's going to negate the impact of the vegetables.
But it's nobody, so good.
But nobody's disgusting. Teaching these kids that, food is medicine. It's ancient. Every major religion talks about it. We don't learn that.
We were talking about this last night behind the stage because one of our sales guys, Rob Kalustian, was eating olives and had like a Mediterranean olive bar set up.
Nice.
Like the Mediterranean diet's a great diet to go on.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And by the way, because, we trigger a lot of people when we have these discussions,
good.
By the way, because they feel like we're fat shaming. We're not. I could use to lose 10 or 15 pounds. We all could. I'm not sitting here and saying that I am the epitome of health. I try and be healthy as much as I can. I try and exercise as much as I can. But we do have an obesity problem in this country, a huge one.
Yeah.
And to sit here for the Surgeon General to say, "Oh, the gun violence is an epidemic." It's not.
Yeah.
Like your child has a higher rate of dying of diabetes or being overweight than they do of getting shot by a gun.
Yeah.
They just do.
But I would also say this. Some of the outdated obesity charts are absurd.
Like
your body fat index and things like that, your body mass. I mean, I'm 5'9". According to the chart, I should be like 160.
Yeah.
I'm 195. Trust me, if I lost 35 pounds, you would think I was sick. Yeah. I'm sorry. I like 180, 185, I got you. I feel good at that weight. 165, no.
But I just think when you start really looking at ingredients and look at the way that they're highly processed, high heat, yep, and that sort of thing,
yep,
even when you, the labeling, you're told on the labeling, oh, this is healthy. Nope, it's really not.
Yep.
And so to me, it's cruel the way that we process our foods, make the most highly processed foods the cheapest foods, especially in this economy. It's like I say, we're getting played. It's a scam. And so for so many people who are overweight, and it's most of us in America today, but especially our kids, this is cruel what our country, what our government is doing. And I do blame them.
Yeah.
And so I think as far as the whole fat, mid-fat, super fat,
Infinifat.
Honestly, I just think that whole thing, people shouldn't be fat shamed, because I think, honestly, it's not your fault. And if you, that same person.
Oh, Dawn.
No, I mean this.
Come on.
If that's, I could take, after our Italy trip, I will say this. If you took the same person who's really struggling and say, I'm being really good and I'm watching my calories, you took that same person and they went to Italy, they would drop the pounds, I will say, in a month.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something going on with that as far as processing everything.
Well, eat the right
everything.
Food then. Eat
no,
the right food then.
It's not just
then.
About that,
oh,
Greg.
Stop.
Even things as simple as olive oil or butter, they process all of it. You think it's real olive oil? No, it's not.
Well, you are right with the big food leads to big pharma. It's all cyclical,
yep,
right? They get you sick. They poison,
yep,
you with the crap you eat. And then you end up on medicine or need surgeries. And you just go in this revolving door back and forth.
And that your body is in a constant state of, you know, you talk about inflammatory. Okay, so it's inflamed by all of this food. And then our crazy scheduling, the way that we have it. And so your body, if you're constantly sleep deprived, which all of us are, your body actually clings to
fats,
yep, because your body thinks that you're in crisis mode.
Mm-hmm.
So our crazy scheduling in this. So we're just all messed up with this.
Yeah.
And we need to take a more holistic approach. I will say, honest to God, not a month, but I will say, if you took a same person who's been struggling with their weight and you put them in another country other than America, such as in Europe or Italy, and they live there and just ate the same like healthy things like Mediterranean, they would lose and keep off that weight that we as Americans can't do in this country. There's more to it.
Irk says on Twitter, Torrid is a clothing store for big girls. So if you were wondering what Torrid was when I was reading, and I had no idea what that is either. So
thanks, Irk.
Yeah, there you go, Irk. Irk shops there.
We have to get off this subject because I'm just afraid we're triggering.
What?
We're triggering people. We're triggering people who are like, stop talking about it. Stop eating. Stop eating and exercise. The end.
As you said yesterday, if you're offended, go listen to Bill and Jen.
Stop. You know, Greg is like 6'3.5", so the taller you are, the easier it is.
Right.
That's not true. I mean,
I think it is.
It
spreads out.
Yeah, no.
Spread it and forget it.
I mean, I tell you guys all the time, like, I track it on my watch here. Like, I try and take 8,000 steps a day. I try and get my heart rate to like 130 each day for a couple minutes. You know what I mean? Like I try and do, even if I'm not working out, I'm trying to do something where I'm active and my heart rate gets up for a consistent. I try and do that every day. I don't always have the best diet. I drink probably too much coffee. Sometimes I stress eat, especially this week, because this week is very stressful for me.
Why?
It just
is. What's going on?
There's a lot happening. There's a lot going on here. Don't worry about it.
See, no, stress eating.
Hasn't been sober, says, I was 240, and the BMI chart said I should be around 190. I got down to 186, and then the chart said I should be at 176. F the chart.
Go f*** yourself.
KJP was on the Morning Joes yesterday, and she said that the reason we have chaos...
Donald Trump. Climate change, racism.
No, you were right with the first thing you said there, Nick Hale. This is cut four. Phil, go.
President Trump can talk policy on Thursday, which remains an open question. We'll see what kind of performer he is that night. One of the places he's undoubtedly going to go is to inflation, which everybody across the country is feeling, despite all that economic data we talk about all the time that is so strong. The economy's thriving. Talk about things costing too much. He'll look into the camera maybe and say, you know that your cereal costs too much. He'll go down the list of groceries and gas. How will the president address that criticism?
So here's the thing. This is something that we've been talking about for some time, right? The economy. And you're right. The data shows that the economy is indeed strengthening. It's stronger. And we understand that we came out of a pandemic, a once-in-a-century pandemic. And the work that this president did, with from the American Rescue Plan to the bipartisan infrastructure legislation to the Inflation Reduction Act, all of these historic pieces of legislation has helped this country get back on its feet. So, yes, you know, eggs and milk, and there were grocery things that were up. It has gone down. It has gone down since 2022. Gas prices, because of the actions that this president took, and let's not forget there was an invasion, but Russia did obviously into Ukraine that caused gas prices to tick up. The president took action, tapped the SPR, and we saw gas prices go down. The president has met the moment with every issue that we have had in front of us. The president obviously talks about that often. He's going to have another opportunity on Thursday to speak to those issues. And look, talking about Donald Trump, which I just mentioned, Dobbs decision. The reason why we have chaos right now after the Dobbs decision, the reason why after Roe v. Wade was overturned after it being constitutional law for 50 years, is because of what Donald Trump did in his administration. And now IVF is on the line. Contraception is on the line. I was thinking about when I was sitting here before starting this conversation, there's some of us who have young children. Can you believe that we have more rights? We had more rights growing up than our kids. That's because of the Trump administration and what they were able to do. So there's a lot here. There's a big contrast in what we're trying to do on behalf of the American people, majority of Americans, what they want to see, and what we see congressional Republicans, extreme Republicans doing.
So I will answer that word salad. And by the way, that was an amazing word salad. There's a lot of ranch dressing on top of the word salad as well. This is one top Democrat telling CNN. This was I wanted to get to this before the cut sheet, but we ran out of time. Quote, he wants the credit, but it's not working. One top Democrat told CNN, quote, he needs to stop. Four sources close to the White House who described private conversations with the Biden campaign said the reason for their concern is simple. The president's policy achievements are not resonating or swaying voters. This is a big story, courtesy of Fox News, talking about policy record, especially with the economy and inflation. And by the way, the cost of everyday living is still up 18%. So they can continue to spin the stock market all they want, but when Americans go and buy anything on a consumer daily basis, they still feel like they're being clubbed over the head, and I feel it as well.
We had a big discussion yesterday about, is Ben Carson in the running for Trump's vice presidency? He was on, what channel was this yesterday? I don't know. Oh, Newsmax TV, excuse me. Okay. Talking about what you did your big take on yesterday. I think it was yesterday. CNN cutting off the Trump press secretary, Caroline Leavitt. This is what he said on that. It is interesting that they're trotting him out to discuss these things now when he really hasn't been seen in a while. But this is cut four. Phil, go. No, this is not cut four. This is cut five. Excuse me. Go.
Really an unprofessional moment there by the anchor, but she went to Twitter saying, or X, saying, you come on my show, you respect my colleagues, period, and goes on talking about her track record. Dr. Carson, your thoughts?
I suspect their producers were screaming in her earpiece, stop her, she can't do that. But, you know, there was a time when CNN was highly respected.
Yeah.
This is CNN, you know. But I think they have completely abandoned any prospect of being neutral anymore. And their respect has gone down, their viewership has gone down. Trump is obviously their best advertisement. They do well when they talk about him. And that's, again, that's all they're concerned about. They're concerned about money and about clicks and about things of that nature. They're not concerned about the people of this country. And, you know, journalism used to be a highly respected area. Now I think it's somewhere below used car salesmen. It's because of situations like this.
Wow. Look at that. Yeah. Comparing it to used car salesmen. He's not wrong.
Don't let the lack of style take away from the substance of what he just said there. If you didn't fall asleep listening to Ben Carson, he's absolutely correct. I mean, and here I would actually push back on, you know, every time they talk about Trump, it's great for their ratings. CNN's ratings have been in the tank for a while, and they still spend a lot of time talking about Trump. So I think they've even lost people on that front, where it's like, how many times can you just keep beating a dead horse to death over and over and over? You know, it'd be like the sports station down the hall if they kept talking about the Eagles and it didn't work in the ratings.
Exactly.
But it does.
Yep.
Doesn't work for CNN right now, and it hasn't for years.
Yeah. It's interesting. Look, I could see Vivek. I could see Ben Carson being Trump's vice president. I could see that.
I'd be good with that.
I can see that very highly.
Yep.
Never thought about it until I saw chatter about him. Vivek, I don't see him in the VP running. I know that it's like he's
too soon.
He's popular online. Yeah. No, he's just
Right. He didn't. Online stardom versus reality is two different things.
Yes, exactly.
So Ben Carson is solid. He's a safe, solid choice.
I'm talking about Vivek though.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Vivek is not happening. Right. Let me just say that again. Vivek will not be vice president for Donald Trump
he'll be
in 2024.
But he'll be in the cabinet.
I sure hope so.
He definitely will be in the
cabinet. Yeah, I mean, it's just he would overshadow too much. You know, like
that's
like
not, but that's not, he's just, they have to look at all the factors. Ben Carson is just so highly respected. So conservatives, you know, conservatives love him, highly respected, but he's also somebody that,
Isn't seeking the spotlight, which Trump doesn't want.
But he is somebody who is so established. I don't see the so-called mainstream media taking pot shots at Dr. Ben Carson.
Yeah.
Widely respected, a neurosurgeon.
He doesn't give any inflammatory commentary that you can try to pin him down on.
Look at his life.
Clip a segment that he does and take 12 seconds of it and take it out of context. I mean, he's legitimately as vanilla as it gets, which maybe is what you're looking for, right? You don't want him in the headlines and making news.
Well, I think I think that he's still, though, nobody can say, if you look at Ben Carson, they can't say, well, he's a MAGA crazy person. They can't say anything about him. They can't discredit him. They can't.
91 LSX says, plus Ben never shot his dog.
It's true. Like there's nothing out there on him, right? Like there's no dirt on the guy.
Fully vetted.
Yeah.
He's like Mike Pence in the fact that he just goes along and you know what I mean? So like he's quiet, he's
But I'm going to disagree with that because Mike Pence was considered, especially by the LGBTQ+ community, as somebody who had they claim had advocated against that community. I think Ben Carson, even other communities that might not vote for him still are not going to say, oh, he's evil MAGA or he's against this and the other group. In fact, he's somebody who advocates for, as an African-American neurosurgeon, highly he's respected in the African-American community. He's respected in communities that maybe they can take pot shot. Those communities could take pot shots at the Mike Pences.
You don't think the Al Sharptons and the Joy Reids of the world would call him a sellout?
Oh, of course they will. 100%. But
they might say sellout, but they're not going to say they can't say much else.
She's right. Peter S. says Ben Carson is not a flashy pick. He's low energy and won't hype the voters. Exactly. That's why I think he has a really good shot in doing it because I think that's appealing to the Trump campaign.
He's positive energy. Widely respected by communities beyond conservatives, but I think conservatives love him.
I would say everything you just described, I would argue the same thing for Tim Scott.
Agreed. But again, he certified the 2020 election and said he would do it again. That is not going to sit well with the Trump campaign.
But Tim Scott is also South Carolina.
Yep. All right.
And so that's, you know, and then Tim Scott's a younger guy.
Right.
Just say this. Mm-hmm. Ben Carson, you know, married to his wife for decades, father, grandfather. Tim Scott still single. So I don't know what that brings
up.
He is
engaged to Mindy.
I know, but I just...
I got the invite.
Did you?
No.
Did you? Oh, okay. Save the date.
Save you a maid of honor.
I'm the best man. Take a loan, pay it back. I'm Tim Scott. And we'll leave the light on for you. 8:30, we'll wrap up the 8 o'clock hour on the other side with our man, the man, Tony Bruno, live from Florida. His Twitter accounts are still active, but apparently somebody else just got whacked last night.
Uh-oh.
Greg, you might need to tell them. Just stay off Twitter.
Stay off Twitter, guys, please.
Back after this.
Hey, we got to talk about Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding. I just think the world of Mike and Mark Chapman, two brothers, local guys, starting their business 30 years ago. My, how the years have flown and how they've earned the respect of the community. So many awards in their business. High integrity, high quality people. You know by now, if I needed windows, doors, siding, stucco remediation, I would think only of the Chapman family team. And speaking of siding, or maybe if you're thinking about removing your current stucco and then replacing it with siding, I want you to think Chapman. Think James Hardy Plank. So beautiful. Vinyl siding choices galore. It's going to add value to your home, boost the beauty too. These certified Chapman installers are the professionals you want on the job. So if you or somebody you know, you're looking for windows, doors, siding, shutters, all the hardware choices, stucco remediation, the James Hardy plank, whatever it is, just give them a call. You can text them. They're local and they're listeners, longtime listeners of Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. You can text them 610-431-8898, 610-431-8898. You can always just visit them online, take a virtual tour, ChapmanWindowsDoors.com. ChapmanWindowsDoors.com. Chapman, the name I trust when it comes to my home. Tell them Dawn sent you.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
Jamal Bowman actually was taking Twitter followers and trying at 3 a.m. to make himself a winner after he got. That's the big story of the night. Jamal Bowman goes down and he goes down hard. And I put a meme up last night before I went to bed. One was, of course, the great Chaz Palminteri. Remember, he was Bronx Tale, right? Mm-hmm. Where he's holding the bat in the streets when he's playing stickball with the kids in that great movie, Bronx Tale. Yeah. And then, of course, I had Jamal Bowman with the bar stool and Bronx Fail. So you had Bronx Tale followed by Bronx Fail. And I thought that would get a million views, but there was a purge overnight, and I hate purges. How many purge movies are we up to now, by the way, on purges?
Did the New York Post run with that as the headline on the front
page? No, I thought they would. That was a great headline. They had something like Bomb Squad.
Firing Squad.
Firing Squad. That's right.
Yes.
But by the way, yeah, now all these other people are, it was AIPAC money. Here's the bottom line. If you live in New York and you're a congressman, don't pull a fire alarm and don't hate Jews. I mean, it's pretty simple. But, I mean, I'm not a – and don't have – I think – and they're all now saying, see? And how about AOC with that dance video and him holding up a chair and dropping – if he had only dropped about five more F-bombs – and if AOC had taken off her top, maybe they would have pulled this one out.
Well, I think the key to victory if you're AOC, Tony, had to be jumping around on stage like she was this past weekend. Like she got selected from the crowd to be on The Price is Right.
Yeah, I love the meme. Did you see that? Somebody put the video together.
It was great.
And she's running up like, hey, come on down.
Come on down.
It's unbelievable.
Yep.
How these people are so clueless and they're blaming big money against it. Big money. Of course, big money. Hillary Clinton endorsed this Latimer guy.
Yeah.
They're both Democrats. They picked the Democrat who's not more insane than Jamal Bowman. The fact that he wasn't in jail after pulling the fire alarm is amazing. That's a felony.
Yep.
So anyway, I'm done with AOC. and all these endorsements, you know. And then you have the other actress.
So disappointing,
the one that was on
though,
Sex
got,
in the City.
She got voted back
because
in
she had nobody's going to vote. Nobody even knows who her opponent is.
Well, and when your opponent is putting up billboards in Times Square when they're from the Bronx and Queens, you probably got your geography a little mixed up. By the way, that's almost as bad as the
night,
Central
you
City
had
song.
Jamal Bowman losing, and then everybody thought that Lauren Boebert was going to lose, and she won.
Big dub
so
for
the
Bowman.
Bottom line, the moral to the story is. Sitting in a dark theater, you know, fondling your male companion during
a boring
movie
ago.
Or TV show is good.
Yes.
Jumping up and down on a stage and screaming profanities and acting like you were just in the showcase showdown does not work. So this is my Democratic strategy. By the way, I haven't been around for a week. I don't know if you've noticed this. The last 7 days, I have been hunkered down with 16 close confidants to make sure that I say everything right today. And at any question asked of me, I will have the pre-canned selection. Jake Tapper, or as Trump calls him, fake Tapper. I call him fake strapper. Actually, he's a real strapper. But that, so I know we got to talk about this debate. Everybody's going to talk about, well, who's going to win, who's going to lose. It doesn't matter. Here's the bottom line. Does it really matter about this debate? It's going to be, oh, well, Biden be able to stand? Is he being jacked up? Will he be screaming? Will he be yelling? Here's why this debate is a joke. Not just because it's CNN. And obviously, Cassie Hunt, give her credit. She actually opened up the can of worms so that everybody could see all of the videos.
Right.
And guess, there are videos of Jake Tapper calling Trump Hitler. Mm-hmm. And this isn't like a political opponent calling somebody out. I heard you guys talking about it yesterday. You know, when Kamala Harris went right after Joe Biden in the 2020 debates.
Mm-hmm.
She basically accused him of being a racist.
Right.
And then, a couple of months later, he makes her the vice president. So all of this sniping back and forth between political candidates, that happens all the time. And then afterwards, when they're on the same team, they all go forward. But now when you have media people pretending that they're going to do a good job or a fair and balanced job, and fair and balanced, there's nobody's fair and balanced. More people are unbalanced than ever before in the history of this country.
It's because of obesity.
I think we can all agree with that. I think a bipartisan unbalanced bill should be brought forth, and Joe Biden will sign it after he leaves with his 16 people down in the basement. And anybody who's defending this, say, see, Trump, why isn't Trump spending 16? Why doesn't Trump spend 7 days hiding in a studio with an airplane hangar somewhere in the mountains of Maryland?
Yes.
I mean, is that not an embarrassment? What happened? You got possible wars breaking out. You know, you got all kinds of things going on, and people, this is a great job by Joe Biden. Oh, look, he's focused. He's the president of the United States. You take off seven. Nick Cale took off 7 days, but he had to drive all of his stuff up from Nashville.
Damn right, baby. 26-foot box truck, Tony. I was beeping the horn. I had a hat on. People are like, what you hauling?
Pull the horn now? Did you honk at people? Were they honking at you when you were driving up?
Yeah, they flipped me the bird. They gave me the business, Tony.
And was the dog in the truck with you or in the Jeep
dog
with Kristen?
The dog was in the Jeep with the wife, getting hair all over the place.
Okay.
I got to vacuum the damn thing out.
So, I was worried about you. I was waiting. I mean, we were waiting for you to call in. You, like, disappeared. You know, we thought you had been kidnapped.
I went dark.
I went dark for 5 days on social, Tony. I cleansed.
Zero dark 30, baby.
Yeah, damn right. But you know what? You bring up the debate. This is such a great point because, and I think you can relate to this better than anybody. You know what this feels like? Now, I'm excited for it because it's my job, but I get most people, I think, won't really care. This reminds me of like the first Eagles preseason game in August where we're forced to talk about it all the time, and most people. People will watch it for like 9 minutes and then check out. Doesn't it have the same vibes and the same feel as that first opening game where the starters are going to go one series in August, Tony?
Yeah, and the thing about this is what's ridiculous about it. If you want to have a real debate, don't have Jake Tapper asking about January 6th, okay? That's the problem. You know, now again, Jake Tapper's not a journalist. He has moments. He's sporadically. He's like the glitching Joe Biden. He glitches. One time he looks like he's a real journalist, and another time he looks like Joe Biden, you know, glitching. Jake Tapper is a strapper.
Go.
And he's also name me one person who works at CNN who is not affiliated with somebody in the DNC, somebody, one of the 51, Dana Bash's husband was one of the 51 intel officials, right? Everybody at CNN has connections to the Democratic Party. Now, there are people at Fox, obviously, who have connections to the Republican Party.
Sure.
So that's the problem. But the bottom line is, these questions should be submitted, and no one should have the questions before the debate. CNN should not be crafting the questions, because then what will happen on Friday morning, you mark my words, mark the tape, Friday morning, people will be saying, well, Donald Trump won because of this, because he was able to talk about January 6th. Nobody cares about January 6th anymore. And the question is, what are you going to do to fix all these problems? You think they're going to question Joe Biden on the border and all of these incidents that have been happening that the media is ignoring about? Remember when Trump said MS-13, they're all gang members and they're going to come in here?
Yeah.
And then Nancy Pelosi said, well, they're God's children. When Trump called out MS-13 when he was president early in his term,
yep,
he was talking about the MS-13 gang members coming into our country. And that's when the border wasn't open, wide open. Mm-hmm. And then, oh, January 3rd, MS-13, they're just God's children. So, you know, spinning it. I think the problem with this debate is that both sides are going to say their guy won. And then they'll figure out if Joe really tanks, then, of course, they'll call Gavin Newsom, who, by the way, did his State of the State address on a recorded message. You had to call like an 800-900 number.
Was it 399
a live State of the State address? He moved. Now he's not even going to go to Sacramento anymore. Can you blame him?
I wouldn't blame him at all. Who the hell
he's
wants to go to Sacramento?
He's going to be up in Marin.
Not even.
You know, he's going to be up in Marin County.
Tony,
because why would you go to Sacramento when you can go to your ranch in Marin? And then just because I wouldn't go to San Francisco, L.A., or Sacramento right now if I was Gavin Newsom.
Tony,
but he actually said last night that he's done the best job with homelessness in his state.
Yeah, okay.
And even like the far left newspapers in the Bay Area are calling him out. It's unbelievable what people get away with, and they work for us. That's the problem I have.
Free agents in the NBA don't even want to go to Sacramento. They're off $30 million
a
year.
They're a little better. They got a little bit better.
Okay.
Tony, how many cups of coffee have you had?
I've only had one.
Yeah, we got a bottle.
I'm jacked up more than Joe Biden. I told you, I've been off for a week on the broadcast part of it, and I'm like, I got 16 friends that I was able to call. I actually found 16 friends and asked, what should I talk about on Kale & Company when I return on Wednesday, the 26th, the eve of the world's most famous debate.
All right,
it's debate eve.
I got to get your thoughts on the other side. We're going to take a quick break, wrap up the 8 o'clock hour with you, and if we can keep you around for a couple of minutes in the 9 o'clock hour, that would be great. At this rate, with your energy, I think we could keep you till 9 p.m. But we'll only keep you till about 9:15.
I'm going to do an AOC dance during the break.
Yeah, baby.
I know. Love to see you on Price is Right. All right, Bruno continues with us.
Can
next.
I just say this? Because I do want to, I do like this. Why don't you keep, for the people watching on YouTube, why don't you keep the feed up during the commercial break so you can see what we're all doing? Is that okay with everybody? Does anybody care?
Absolutely. Now, I usually, you know, I'll take my shirt off and whatever it takes, I'll do an AOC. I'll dance.
Yep.
I'll do a little dance.
Dance
make a little
me.
Love. Get down tonight.
So if you're watching, if you're watching on YouTube, you can see what we do during the commercial breaks, which is.
I got crabs on my shirt. Yes. Sharon Kennedy just noticed.
I'm glad you
crabs
said that on your shirt.
I'd rather have crabs on my shirt than in my drawers.
Hey, there you go.
I'm freezing my ass off up here.
Kale & Company, more Bruno next.
We need to take a summer road trip to see Tony Bruno and Miss Robin. That would be an awesome summer road trip, especially with your new home being built. And that's really what summertime is all about. My friends at Piazza Premium Automobiles, they're always going to help you find that luxury vehicle that you've been eyeing. You've earned it. You've been thinking about it. Come on. Time to go get it. Piazza has thousands of new and certified pre-owned vehicles from brands such as, and these are some of the most beautiful, powerful vehicles on the roadways right now, Mercedes-Benz, Land Rover, Jaguar, Maserati, BMW, Porsche, and Alfa Romeo. Beautiful vehicles. Visit PiazzaPremiumAutomobiles.com or stop by one of their PA, Delaware, New Jersey dealers, PIAZZA, Piazza, PremiumAutomobiles.com. Make sure you tell them Dawn sent you.
Start your day with Kale & Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.